I never forget, I went in the post office one time and the postmaster is a woman. She said, you know, how come you're always so happy? And I looked at her and I said, because my sins are forgiven. I don't have to pay for them. I don't have to go to hell. She went, well, that's a good thing, I guess, you know. But just think about, your sins are forgiven. All the debt that you had. Imagine if somebody said, you know what, I just paid your mortgage off. You'd be jumping through the roof. It's even bigger with your sins getting forgiven. That's a debt nobody could pay except for the Lord.
Jesus.
Somebody with money can come in and buy you out and pay off your mortgage, but nobody can wipe away your blemishes between you and God. And our sins are forgiven, and he heals all of our diseases. But yet, how many of you have been struggling in this last season with some physical things? I got a shoulder here that's all wired back together. I got a knee that was drained 6 times. I got another one that was put 2 different metal knees in it. You know, sometimes you feel like you're on a merry-go-round and you're moving, but you're not going anywhere. Has anybody ever had that thought? I'm moving in the things of the Spirit, but I'm really not seeing that I'm making any headway. Well, that's the season that we've been in. God has been, I believe, putting us through the pressure to get out the good to come from us, to where we get to that place where, like Michelle said, we don't take any nonsense. We, you know what? That's enough of this. We're stopping this right now. And as I thought about, he heals all of our diseases. And, you know, when I start praying, when I have a pain, I immediately start praying for other people. I pray for Lawrence. I pray for Chris. I pray for Deb Apicolino. I pray for, please pray for Cheryl's father. He's...
Yeah, I'm going through it.
It's, you know, just pray for her father. It's a trying time right now. Pray for Michael Caine. He's having mental problems right now. He used to be a drummer at our church, and he moved to Pennsylvania, and he's having a hard time. I pray for these people. Even before I pray, Lord, whatever this spasm in my shoulder, take away. Because it doesn't seem as big as some of the things people are facing, but yet it's big to me. You know, when you have a hangnail, that's big to you. And so when we cry out, when we get desperate, that's when we grab on the whole hem of the garden, like hem of his garment, like that lady did. And Jesus said, who touched me? We've got to be like that lady and grab on to what he's, even if he's just passing by and not paying any attention to us. Sometimes I've been through times where I thought, Lord, are you paying attention to what I'm saying? Are you paying attention to my prayers? Do you see what's going on in our country? Do you see this? Do you see that? And every now and then, I just got to be quiet. And then I have to start making declarations. I trust you with the future. I have faith in your goodness. Maybe I'm the only one on this Zoom that has ever been through mental thoughts like that. But I went through that. And I'm thinking about healing. I know I've seen healing. I've seen 6 people raised from the dead. But I see a lot of other people that have been sick. And so I still want to improve my effectiveness as a minister of the kingdom of God, where Jesus walked through and healed all their diseases. That's a stretch, isn't it? Think about walking into an infirmary. I remember Carlos Anaconda down in Argentina. He was a nuts and bolts factory owner. He was a wealthy man. How he made his money was by making nuts and bolts. And you know, when they talk about something being all complicated, they go, just give me the nuts and bolts. Give me the simplistic response. And Carlos Anaconda, well, he wasn't a minister. But the Lord, when he got saved, the Lord said, I want to heal people through you. Go to the infirmary. And the infirmaries in Argentina were just big rooms with beds down each side. No walls, just people laying in beds. And he went up to a guy and he said, can I pray for you? And the guy said, no, thank you. I'm Catholic. You're not a priest. So he went to the next bed. He prayed for that person. They jumped up. They were instantly healed. He went to the next bed. And this is like 30 beds. He went to all the other 29 beds. Everybody got out of bed and started praising God and clapping his hand. And the Catholic guy went, hey, get back here. Pray for me now, okay? Because the proof is in the pudding. When you have signs and wonders that are following you, people are going to want you to walk into their room. And the Bible declares that signs and wonders follow us. Everybody say, signs and wonders are following me the rest of my life.
Signs signs and wonders are fine.
I'm not going to stick with the same old, the mundane. I'm not going to go for 1 out of 10 getting healed or 2 out of 10. I want what you had, Lord. I want 10 out of 10 getting healed. And so I was reading in Kings about Naaman. I don't know if I'm saying his name right. I always wonder if they said, hey, what's your name? And he goes, yeah. And they go, what's your name? And he goes, yeah. He's like, it's Naaman. Yeah, okay, all right. He wasn't a Christian. He was ungodly. He was the Winston Churchill of Syria. He was the George Washington of Syria. He's the military leader that led them in victory from the Assyrians. Now they were the most powerful conglomerate in the world at that time. But Naaman had a problem. He got leprosy. Now, when a rich person, a powerful person, gets a disease, I was always amazed at Magic Johnson when he came down with AIDS. He's held up pretty well because he had the money to get the treatments. He had the money to go to the doctors. Sometimes people with money have an advantage. And I thought about Naaman. Naaman, he had leprosy, which was the AIDS. It was the pandemic of the time. It's a discoloring. I looked up leprosy. It's a discolored swelling and abnormal decay of your skin. It'll slowly eat through the tissues, even to the bone and the joints, and even eats into the bone marrow, rotting the whole body. If you had this, you had to leave your house, you had to leave your job, you had to go live with a bunch of other lepers, and you could have no contact with your children. It was real. Your life totally was controlled by leprosy at that time. But Naaman had a friend, happened to be the king. How many of you know it's good to have a friend that's a king? We have a friend too who's a king, King Jesus. So you're in a better place than Naaman was. But when he went to this king and told him what his situation was, the king was sympathetic to him, didn't fire him. Naaman goes home, and the Syrians had captured people, and they had actually captured some Israelis. And Naaman had a woman working in his house that was an Israelite, and she happened to mention to him, Naaman's wife, she said, you know, it's a shame he's not in Israel because there's prophets there that heal people and he could get rid of this over there. Well, then he went somehow and presented it to the king that he wanted to go to see the prophets in Israel to try to get healed. The king wrote him a nice little letter to give to the king of Israel.
To heal him.
He thought the king of Israel was going to heal him. So Naaman now goes to the king of Israel with this letter from the king of Syria, who is the most powerful man in the world. And the king of Israel's reaction was interesting. Well, what does he think I'm going to do, you know? Well, he did find his way. Naaman found his way to Elijah. And Elijah, now here, you got to understand this. This is 120 miles trip to get to the king of Israel. And now that's riding on a chariot, not a covered wagon. He was out in the open with his leprosy. He wasn't all covered up. He wasn't hiding. In a lot of ways, I say Naaman must have been humbled by all this. I think he was a sincere man. He obviously was a good military leader because they had a lot of great victories under him. But he goes to see the king. I'm here to get healed. And the king's like, this is a trick. They know I can't do this and they're going to try to destroy our nation or something. But he wound up with Elijah. And guess what happened? He pulled up to his house, his whole entourage, with his carpet and his regalia. And the prophet didn't even come out of the house to see him. Said, go wash in the river 30 miles away. And he was so mad that this guy didn't even come out. He took with him over $1 million worth of stuff in today's dollars. Some people say it's worth over $3 million of gifts to give. And so here's the second in command in Syria, the most powerful country in the world. And the prophet sits in his house, sends his servant out and says, The prophet says, go wash in the river 7 times. And his initial response is probably something like maybe we would respond. What, we don't have clean water in New Gretna? I can go right down to the lake here. It's probably the cleanest iron water in the world. It makes your skin feel good. Why do I have to go to Pennsylvania to wash? So he wound up in little reasoning from his subordinates. You know, if he asked you to do this or do that, you'd do anything if you thought you'd get healed. So they went. It was a 30-mile ride to the river on a horse. I don't know if you ever rode on a horse. Anybody here ever ride on a horse? Wave at me. I rode on a dawn to dusk horseback ride when I went away to camp when I was 11. I didn't walk straight for 2 days afterwards. My legs were so sore from bouncing on that horse for 8 hours. I should have taken like the 3-hour ride, because by the time the 8 hours were up, I didn't want to see a horse the rest of my life. I was so sore from bouncing around on that thing. This guy just drove 150 miles in a bouncy chariot. This is not an air-conditioned Mercedes. This is a bouncy, open-air chariot. Whatever the weather was, that's what he got. I don't know how many days it took. If they could do 10 or 15 miles a day, it's probably taking them 10, 15 days to get there. Now it's another 2 days to get to the river. Then another 2 days to come back, because he did get healed. And I'm thinking, what would we do? How hard would we press? When would we throw in the towel and say, you know what, it's just not meant to be? Naaman exhibited more faith in doing what he did and all that he went through.
And humbled himself.
And humbled himself. And I'm pressing into God saying, how do we get to that place? You know, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, it said, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, we have a healing covenant. In Romans 5, 6, it says, Christ died for us. In Romans 5:8, it says, Christ died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Again, that reminds me of Michelle's prayer. We shouldn't live for ourselves anymore. We should live for him who died for us. But here's this ungodly man who exhibited more persistence and pressing, I think, than, you know, a lot of times I've seen people. Oh, well, it's the Lord's will. It's easy to blame everything on God. It's tough to grab onto the hem of his garment. And I want to encourage all of you tonight. Whatever it takes, whatever you're facing, all of us are facing something. You don't live this life without facing something. Has anybody here lived a little bit and not faced anything? Raise your hand. We've all had things we've had to press through. We've all had issues. We all have character flaws. We all have problems that we all had traumas. We've had things that have affected us in positive and negative ways. But we've got to get ourselves in our spirit man. That one that rose up out of Cheryl in that hospital, that muscle man, where we yield to his power in our life. And Naaman got healed. And what was amazing to me, I don't know that did he have some type of confession? Did he have some type of belief? I don't see where he's confessing that the Lord is the God of the universe. He heard there was somebody there who could heal his leprosy.
But he did. He did say.
He did say, and he did come around. But see, that came after the fact. A lot of times we try to get people to make all the confessions and everything before we expose them to God's goodness. It's sometimes the goodness of God that leads them into salvation. This little kid I'm taking to the baseball clinic, they still don't know I'm a pastor. I'm getting him Christmas presents. I get him snacks. He's just like he's my grandson. I want him to experience the goodness of God before he hears the words coming out of my mouth. That's a twist for me. Usually we want to go out and witness. We want to go out and hand. I want release the goodness of God to somebody this week. Bless them. They didn't ask for it. Just give it to them. I got cards for the old ball players there that are the instructors. I just want to bless people and let them feel goodness coming out of me. Lord, how can I express your goodness today? That's a good prayer for you first thing in the morning. How can I express your goodness to someone today? How can I bless someone? Well, Naaman gets healed. And I was thinking of Chuck Pierce sent me a scripture. It was in Jeremiah 33:6. It said, and was talking about Israel and all the cities that had gone under some sieges and having some hard times. And he said, behold, I will bring it to health and a cure. I will cure them, and I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Jeremiah.
I sent it to Chuck.
33:6. Cheryl sent this to Chuck. He sent it back to me. And think about that. The cure for our government is the Son of God. The cure for my bloodline issues that I may have inherited from those past generation is the Son of God, is his deliverance, is the covenant that he made with us. And you know, when he was talking, I love that one scripture where he was talking back and forth, and he said, when you can convince the covenant I made with light and darkness, with the sun and the moon to cease, then my covenant with you will cease. So when you see that sun, when I see the sun come up in the morning, I start declaring my covenant. The other night I saw the moon and the sun together, and it reminded me of what Matt prayed, double portion. There's the covenant is right there in the sky. His statement, if you can convince the sun to get dark and the moon to get light and change all that, that I have a covenant, I made a covenant with you, there'll be light and dark, then my covenant's not worth anything. And every day, guess what? The sun comes up. Every day, the moon's circling around the earth. That covenant is established forever. The covenant of healing, the covenant that we are to grab onto, like that woman with the hem of his garment. And I know we've all had issues. I know we've all had things. We've gone through things. We've seen people get healed. We've seen people go home to be with the Lord. Cheryl's getting her Bible.
Go ahead. Keep going.
In Jeremiah 33:19, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and there should be no day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant. That covenant of just light and darkness, daytime and nighttime, cannot be broken. And folks, the covenant that Jesus paid for with the stripes on his back for our healing cannot be broken either. You grab onto that like you've never grabbed, with a desperation like you've never had before, to see healing explode across. Our country is sick. There's a lot of sickness going on in our country. Not just physical sickness. There's some mental stuff going on too. There's some ideologies that are just sick. We got to grab onto that healing covenant like we never have before. And so what I want to lose to you tonight is a tenacity, a desperation to grab on to what actually you've learned about and you've had some experience with. How many of you have ever prayed for a sick person? How many? Everybody has. But we got to get better at it. I want to be better at it. I don't want to bat 150 or 200. Really, that's 2 out of 10. The only difference between an all-star and an also-ran is 1 out of 10 hitting extra. You go to 3 out of 10, you're batting 300 and you're in the Hall of Fame. I don't want to bat 3 out of 10. I want to bat 10 out of 10. Jesus healed, everybody say all. He healed all of their diseases. Everybody that he touched was made whole. That very hour, I love that little blurb. That very hour, Lawrence got out of bed. That very hour, Mary's arm was better. That very hour, Deb Aquilino started breathing properly. That very hour. And so let's pray. That, I mean, that's really the only exhortation I have for you tonight. I'm just, I feel a little stirred up that there's more. I'm 67 years old. I want the abundanza before I die. I want to grab the gold ring when I'm going around the Ferris wheel. I went around the Ferris wheel with Brooks and Stella, and they had rings. And when I tried to grab it, there was four or five of them. I didn't mean to, but a merry-go-round. I grabbed all five. And the attendant said, "You're not supposed to grab all five." I handed them back. I said, "I didn't mean to. My hand's big, and it got caught in them." When we're riding this life called, we're riding this merry-go-round called life. Grab everything that God has for you. Don't let it pass you by. And so, whatever God's requiring, I don't know if anybody ever saw that old movie with Gene Hackman, The Poseidon Adventure, and they'd gone up through the ship in a turn, big cruise ship, and they got to the hull where they were almost out, and there was almost an impassable wear, but steam was coming out, and he had to jump and turn a valve. He went, "What else do you want? What are you requiring? What more do you want?" I sometimes feel that way. Lord, what do we got to do? How do we shift this? How do we have resurrection power resonating and flowing through the body, not one leader? This new move is not going to be one leader that everybody lays hands on. I saw some old tent meetings with Oral Roberts. They would line them all up and he would pray for them, lay his one hand on them. This new move is not going to be a one guy putting one hand on. It's going to be the body flowing in that river of life. And everybody that gets near that river is going to be healed. So, Father, right now I pray for that river, that water, that everlasting supply, that reservoir of water of life that's in us. Lord, that we would flow in that river like we never have before. Everywhere that river flows brings healing. Lord, I loose a new flow of healing to the body of Christ on this Zoom right now. Everyone that they know, a new flow of healing in the bloodline of everyone on this Zoom, every one of their family members. Lord, we loose that healing covenant throughout our bloodlines right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that we would be that person that would be walking by and say, "That person's getting healed right now. I felt healing virtue come out of me. Jesus, you did it. I want to do it. I want to feel healing virtue come out of me to a total stranger who I didn't even know I was praying for. Lord, you did it. We can do it." And Father, I thank you and praise you. I thank you that a number of people, this is a small number of people, but this number of people could shake the nation right now. You had 12 and you shook the world. Lord, we can shake the nation with our prayers, our decrees, and our declaration, and our belief in all that, our faith in that, Lord. Our faith is going to be greater than any fear that the enemy tries to throw at us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, I didn't know what John was going to preach, and he doesn't know what I read this week.
Make me look good, honey.
So I'm going to share this with you because it goes right with it. It's Psalm 145, 9 through 12, and it's in the Passion Translation, and it says, "God, everyone sees your goodness, for your tender love is blended into everything you do. Everything you have made will praise you, fulfilling its purpose. And all your godly ones will be found bowing before you." I just want to tell you, we've been in prayer for these 3 weeks. Marcia is on here. I don't know if she still is. But we've been in prayer with Marcia from Pennsylvania. And we've been bowing before the Lord in our prayer time. Just bowing as we're praying. And then it goes on to say, "They will tell the world of the lavish splendor of your kingdom and preach about your limitless power. They will demonstrate for all to see your miracles of might and reveal the glorious majesty of your kingdom." That's us. That's us. And I'm just so excited because I feel like, and Chuck said it this week, when Chuck came on, and maybe you didn't see it, but he was on some program and this is exactly what he was saying. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's time now for kingdom to manifest in this way through all of us. And, you know, we've all had dribs and drabs of it, but now it's time for us to really, I want to say, reach into him as he's reaching around and surrounding us. You know, like he's reaching around to embrace you. We need to reach inside of him and embrace all that he is in him. And so, Lord, I decree over this body joined here tonight and those that will listen on the web, Lord Jesus, I decree, Lord, that we will see your goodness and your tender love blended into everything you do. Lord, that our love would abound so that Thank you, Lord. Discern. That's what it says in the book of Timothy. Our love must abound so we can discern. And Lord, we will tell the world of the lavish splendor of your kingdom and preach about your limitless power, limitless. We will demonstrate for all to see your miracles of might. Lord, we've done it in the past and even in, you know, recent, there's been healings and miracles, but Lord, we want to do it every single day. And we decree that we will reveal the glorious majesty of your kingdom.
Thank you, Lord.
By our love and by the outworking of the anointing for miracles and salvations in Jesus' mighty name. And then it goes on to say, you are faithful to fulfill every promise you've made. You manifest yourself as kindness in all that you do. And so, Lord, we just say that we receive these words and we will walk in them in our everyday life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. What's happening here? Well, we will see. Go ahead, Sig.
I just, when you were talking earlier, you're talking about, you know, we go through things and so on, and we all do that. And I was reminded that the olive and the grapes that Jesus talked about are perfect examples of that those have to be crushed in order for good to come out. This past August, the boys and I pitched in to buy some very expensive perfume for Ginge. It wasn't from Walmart either. And I read the little description. It says that it took 10,000 petals of roses to make 1 ounce of this particular perfume. And it made me think of that, you know, all of us, we go through things, and it's not because God is trying to kill us. Well, he actually is trying to kill us. We have to be crucified. But he's trying to bring something good out of us. And so we go through things, and if our response is right and correct and we process it right, then we become that oil, we become that wine, we become that fragrance or that perfume that comes. And so I just want to add that as you were talking, John.
Amen.
Yeah, and, you know, I also...
You cut Jen. Go ahead, Jen.
Oh, I didn't know she was talking.
Yeah, I know.
No, I just said the name of that perfume is Joy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I also listened to a sermon this week, an old sermon by Charles Stanley. He's one of my favorite preachers. And the sermon was about, you can go up online and find it, taking control of your thoughts. It is so good because the battlefield is the mind. And many of these things we go through. The battlefield, I mean, we may have some physical sickness, but the battlefield of the mind, and we all know that. But a couple of the things he said was, you become what you think about. You become what you're thinking about and what you're putting on your mind. Just like Friday night when Lisa Lyons said, the Lord said to her, you become what you're gazing upon. Same thing. You know, we become, what are we gazing upon? And Charles Stanley said, you know, TV shows are called programs. Why are they called programs? Because they're programming you to think like the show. And he said, so many people watch things that are sensual and sexual and perverse. I mean, that's so much on TV now. I mean, Naked and Afraid. I mean, come on. And, you know,
and you can be watching a great show and then a commercial comes on that you got to flick off because you think, I don't want to see this.
So anyway, how Charles Stanley put it was, what are you allowing yourself to be programmed by? You know, are you watching the news constantly? Are you reading stuff? And really, we need to, and Mary said it, Mary, I'm sure you prayed this. We have to be seated in heavenly places. We have to think on these things, the scripture says. Think on things, you know, heavenly things and things that are good. And I know this is preaching to the choir. We all know this. But I believe that in the season we're coming, you know, we're coming into even greater warfare, Chuck said in the spring, we have got to have our minds fixed in heaven. We cannot have them fixed down here. We can't discern if our mind is down here because it's sensual. We have to break up through that and have our mind in that third heaven, so that we can discern what God is saying to us and what's going on. So I'll send you that link. You know, I just, you don't have to watch it, but it was really good because it went along with Chuck and it went along with the Shabbat and it went along with your prayers tonight. So, well, Lord, we just want to bless everybody and thank you all for coming on. It's an hour and a half. We got to get off. And a portion of the teaching was lost because